This is VOCM News Talk. Call 709-273-5211 or 1-888-590-8626. The views and opinions of this program are not necessarily those of this station. Here's VOCM News Talk host Linda Swain.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. And Claudette, all I can say, I've got one word for this day.
Yeah?
Yuck.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say yuck. That was my second guess instead of yeah.
It's terrible.
I'm really, really surprised. I felt like my head was on a swivel stick throughout the show because I would look back. I'm like, oh, no, there's no snow squall. And then I look back again. I'm like, yeah, there's a snow squall. Just so many. And then you see all of the different comments coming in on social media about how slippery it is and people saying about not having the lights on in the outer ring. And I remember the newsroom doing a story, too, about all of the different accidents that were happening.
Oh, man, there were quite a few over the lunch hour. Mm-hmm. And how can it be avoided, really? You know,
right.
I'm looking over your shoulder now, and the sun is shining on
Kenmount
Road. But you can see the snow squalls hitting just north of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and they're going to come. They come in little waves, as you know, and you just don't know. You could be driving along, and all of a sudden you are in whiteness, absolute whiteout conditions. I darted out over the lunch hour today, and I'm going to tell you, you didn't know if you were on the road. You didn't know if there were cars around you. You just had to wish for the best. And then navigating the consistency of the snow today, I don't know if it's something to do with the temperature and the moisture and all of that sort of stuff, but it is incredibly slippery and greasy. So at one point, I felt like the Dukes of Hazzard going around the corner was like...
It felt like a little bit of a surprise for me, too. I don't know. I just wasn't expecting another winter wonderland where it was mild the other day. It was just, I don't know. Yeah, I know what province I live in.
Yeah. So I figured it was a good time to check in, of course, with Environment Canada. And meteorologist David Neal joins me now. Well, David Neal, there's times when you can't see your hand in front of your face. Tell us what's going on out there.
So what we got, what we're seeing right now is in the wake of this the storm that passed through, this cold front that passed through the day yesterday and last night, seeing some colder air and some strong winds, mainly out of the west, and that's given rise to some snow squalls, really along parts of the west south coast, but yeah, into the Avalon Peninsula as well, and some of those bands have looked to be quite intense.
Intense is right. So are we getting any accumulations in some of these snow squalls?
So what we expect with these, the accumulations are going to be highly variable. So if you don't have, if these squall bands set up, if they're not at one of our manned weather stations, sometimes you don't necessarily get those accumulations, but they're occurring somewhere. So we're expecting accumulations to be highly, highly variable under these areas where we're expecting snow squalls. Really looking at amounts anywhere from as little as a couple of centimeters, but a few areas could see anywhere from 5 to 10 centimeters under these squall bands. So certainly going to be very, very variable, as is the case with this sort of setup.
We're getting calls from across the island, but any areas of particular interest here?
Right now, we do have snow squall warnings in effect for parts of the east. We had one out for the Buran Peninsula as of early this morning. We've since bumped up the parts of the Avalon Peninsula, including the St. John's Metro area, from a watch to a warning a little bit earlier today. A couple of other areas of note, also parts of western Newfoundland. Those areas are tend to be a little more prone to snow squalls. So we have a snow squall watch out for parts of western Newfoundland from Bay St. George up to Gros Morne and also the Humber Valley Deer Lake region. So for those areas, we do expect those squalls to persist really through the remainder of the day today and even into tonight, possibly into the early morning tomorrow for some areas. And again, it'll be highly variable and the squall bands will kind of meander a little bit over these regions. So you will have areas and times where you see like a mix of sun and clouds, some patchy blue sky, but then not far from where you are, you could have a full-on whiteout over some areas. So very, very localized phenomenon, but something that certainly if you're on the road or on the highway, certainly not a lot of fun to try and navigate through when you hit one of those squalls.
And what does the weekend look like? How's it shaping up?
Well, as we get into Saturday morning, it could still be a few lingering flurries in over parts of the island, but generally looking at things to clear out through the day Saturday. And then Sunday, we do have some more cloud moving in. Parts of the island could see a few more rain showers moving in. We get another bit of a mild push coming in across much of the island on Sunday, with some areas likely to see some showers or some rain, especially along the south coast of Newfoundland, where I could see a little bit of rainfall accumulation. Nothing looking too severe at this point, but could see a bit of a showery and rainy Sunday for a few areas of the island. So in this cold, blustery squall type setup for today, looks like that'll move out and we'll get some milder temperatures in. So kind of continuing, it's been a bit of an up and down week in terms of the temperatures.
Indeed. Well, be careful out there. If you happen to encounter one of these snow squalls, keep your speeds down and I suppose keep your wits about you.
Absolutely. It's a type of setup. Again, you could be going along and it could be just a nice day, maybe a few light flurries here or there, but then once you get under one of those squall bands, it goes to near zero visibility and very quickly, and so it's definitely something where you really do need to adjust your driving, and when you do hit those bands, definitely react accordingly. Slow down and make sure to keep safe distance from those who are in front of you. So, definitely good to take heed there for really the rest of the day today.
David Neal, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
So let's try to avoid, if at all possible, the flurry, pardon the pun, of accidents we saw over the lunch break and on the commute home. Everybody just be aware that you may encounter all of a sudden, out of the blue, for no reason whatsoever, a complete whiteout situation. Like I said, I drove around a little bit over the lunch hour and you couldn't even tell where you were on the road. You had no idea.
Which is very scary, and especially if you're on roads like the Outer Ring Road or any of the major thoroughfares, or trying to wonder if you're gonna have to speed up or slow down to get onto your ramp. I can't imagine being in that right now. But again, I'm gonna look over my shoulder and look. It looks like it's a normal day. How deceiving.
Yeah, well, we'll keep you posted.
Yeah.
When we come back after the break, the country is mourning the loss of Prime Minister Brian Mulroney. We'll hear more from one of his more formidable political adversaries when we come back after this.
Stay informed and have your say on the news of the day with your VOCM. Join Linda Swain weekday afternoons from 4 to 5 p.m. for an hour of talk and discussion with decision makers and listeners like you. News Talk on your VOCM.
And we are back. Well, Liberal House Leader Steve McKinnon says Canada is in mourning for former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney. The flag on the Peace Tower flying at half-mast and a book of condolences have been set up inside the House of Commons for MPs to sign. Mulroney died yesterday at the age of 84 in a Florida hospital following a recent fall at his Palm Beach home. He had been treated for prostate cancer almost a year ago and underwent a heart procedure in August. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau confirms there will be a state funeral and says details on the timing are now being worked out with Mulroney's family. Well, the leader who was the thorn in Brian Mulroney's side during the Meech Lake debate is remembering the former prime minister as a significant Canadian and a dominant feature of public life in the country during his period. Former Liberal Premier Clyde Wells opposed the Meech Lake Accord, a series of constitutional amendments to appease Quebec and recognize the province as a distinct society. My colleague Brian Callahan speaks with the former premier about Brian Mulroney's legacy and about his own political ambitions at what was a contentious time in federal politics.
When you heard this news, what was your reaction?
Well, we've lost a very significant Canadian who played a major role in this country for at least 10 years and was a dominant feature of public life in the country during his period.
Is there any particular moment, and I can only imagine the number of them, but is there anything that stands out specifically? People always look for, you know, some tangible moments that are most memorable for you. What jumps to mind?
Well, I mean, he undertook major things as prime minister, major changes. I could think of the free trade agreement, for example, and that was, most people had doubts about it and were apprehensive about where it might lead. But he, in the end, he was shown to be right that it was in the best interest of Canada, and I think Canada has done reasonably well by it. And other undertakings like the GST, the Atlantic Accord is significant from Newfoundland's point of view. Perhaps the one that I had the greatest involvement with was his endeavors to put in place certain constitutional amendments. I disagreed with him on some of them, some aspects of it that I felt very strongly about. He led on the GST, for example. Those were all major endeavors. Internationally, he led the way in dealing with South Africa, with the South Africa situation, the apartheid government. He led the world in putting pressure on South Africa to change that. So he was a very, very significant Canadian for his time. That doesn't mean I agreed with everything he did. I disagreed with some aspects quite strongly.
What might be an example of that?
Well, his Meech-Lake Accord had a half a dozen significant areas that were of great import in Canada. I had no problem with recognizing Quebec as a distinct society. It's an obvious fact, unavoidable. But I disagreed strongly with subordinating the entire Constitution to a recognition that Quebec was a distinct society and would be whatever the Quebec government and legislature decided to promote as a distinct identity for Quebec. I mean, those things were fraught with major difficulties and created major changes between Quebec as a province of Canada and all of the other provinces. In particular, I was most concerned about the changes to the amending formula that would prevent the Senate ever being reformed because it would now require the unanimous approval of all 10 provinces. And the chances of getting that with Quebec's attitude and Ontario's position, both of them each with 24 senators at the moment, the chances of getting that changed and reformed with requiring unanimity amongst the provinces was virtually impossible. So I strongly oppose that.
I remember those days well. I also recall being on the floor of the convention floor in Calgary at the Saddle Dome during the former Prime Minister Jean Chrétien's leadership bid, which he ultimately won. And I remember donning a T-shirt that said, Clyde Wells for Prime Minister. Were you a serious threat to Prime Minister Mulroney at that time?
No, I don't think so. I never had any aspiration. Not that I didn't have any aspiration. I would have loved to have been Prime Minister of Canada. But I just recognize that my total inability to converse in the French language, one of the two great languages of Canada, would make it practically impossible for me ever to be an effective prime minister. So I just never had the aspiration, not because I wasn't interested, but because I wasn't capable.
Yeah, that's probably followed a few politicians in our province over the years, including maybe even John Crosby.
Well, he didn't think it should matter to him. You'll recall, he said, well, I don't speak Chinese either. So, I mean, he had a different attitude toward the importance of it than I did.
He most certainly will. Premier Wells, I just wonder what thoughts are left with you about the former Prime Minister. How will he be remembered in your mind?
Well, I have two memories of him. I just gave some indication of what I thought of him as a senior Canadian statesman. He played a very significant role in those 10 years and will, of course, be remembered for his achievements at that time. But I also saw him from a point of view of disagreeing with the changes he was proposing to the Constitution and my efforts to oppose them. And the thing that disappointed me most in him was that he was never satisfied with trying to address the issues I raised on the merits of the issues. Rather, he dealt with it only in terms of attacking me personally. And I was rather disappointed in him from that point of view. He was a very charming and gracious man, and even though he would be condemning me personally one day when we'd meet, he'd be a very charming man. So it was he was sort of difficult to deal with from that point of view. I would much prefer that he would have addressed the issues I was raising on the merits of those issues and the merits of his position on those issues. Instead, he either lacked confidence in the merits or he just chose to instead attack me personally, which, and if you look at, read his book and refer back to all of the comments he made, you will see the extent to which his response was always a personal attack.
Overall, a friend to Newfoundland and Labrador?
Yes, he indeed made a significant contribution. He provided agreed with the Atlantic Accord, which was very significant for Newfoundland. And so it was a great benefit. And he seemed to have a real interest in Newfoundland and in Labrador. He was, I think he was chairman of the board of the IOC in Labrador City. So he had a significant connection with Newfoundland.
Premier Wells, Mr. Wells, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate your thoughts on the passing of former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney.
You're welcome, Brian.
And if you remember, that whole Meech Lake debate got very contentious, and the former premier outlined it there that, Clyde Wells was a thorn in Brian Mulroney's side in trying to get that brought forward. And he made some very strong arguments against it while he agreed with some of the amendments made. He didn't agree with all of them. And I still have a T-shirt with Clyde Wells for Prime Minister. They were giving them out at Sobeys, if I remember. And, you know, it was just like, I recognize this as a pivotal historic moment in history. So I grabbed one and went on and still got it. And in fact, I had to haul it out today just to have a look at it. So, yeah, very interesting indeed. It was a heady time for sure. And former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney made a lot of very big and bold moves and changes in on the political landscape at the time. And as you just heard, Clyde Wells outlined quite a few of them, including the Free Trade Agreement, which was very big. And a lot of people very concerned about what that would mean in terms of the Canadian economy. But a lot of people would argue today that it was one of the best things that he's done or that Canadians as a whole have done.
And he was very, very passionate about that and would, if somebody disagreed, he would...
He'd let you know. He was a lawyer, after all.
Yeah.
So, and he was a great orator, if you remember. And he had that
charismatic,
that voice,
for
that
sure.
Voice,
yeah.
But he introduced at least one thing that was incredibly unpopular, and that was the GST, the Goods and Services Tax. In fact, Jean Chrétien, if you recall, had an entire political campaign based on eliminating the GST. And, of course, we know where that went. Nowhere. He got in, however, but the GST is still with us today.
I don't know how I feel about the introduction of the loony, because he was, instrumental in that as well. I remember going from the dollar bills to just being loaded down with loonies in your pocket. So I didn't really have a good feeling about that, but that was only minor. I mean, the major thing, too, would be apartheid in South Africa as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. And the clear air agreement that he made with the United States to address acid rain, that was you use these terms now and you think, you know, was that really a thing? But yeah, acid rain was a huge issue in the 1970s and 80s.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah. We talked about it a lot, or we heard about it a lot, for sure. Yeah. I was not talking about it. I'm pretty sure I was listening to it on the radio, though, and watching it on television, those the debates and the discussions about acid rain. So, yeah, apartheid, a huge, huge issue in the 1980s. I mean, it just dominated the cultural landscape, didn't it? And, you know, fed the music industry and everything. Thank goodness that he took the stand that he did, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the U.S. and the U.K. were a little reluctant to impose sanctions on the South African apartheid government. And Mulroney said, no, either you do it or you don't do it, and end up on, as he put it, the wrong side of history.
Yeah.
Just imagine.
I think he helped Mandela get out of jail. I have to look into that, but that was one of the things that I noted when I was listening to all of the different things that he was known for. But that really stood out in my head.
As soon as anyone mentions Mandela's name, I think of the specials. Free Nelson Mandela.
Yes.
Because my head always goes to the music side of things. But such an important time, not only in Canadian history, but global history. And some major changes happened there, thank goodness. Anyway, we'll be back right after this. When we come back, 9 community organizations will receive a share of some $405,000 in government funding announced earlier today. We'll speak with the Minister Pam Parsons when we come back after this.
Your voice in Newfoundland and Labrador's biggest conversation.
If you want to know what's happening in your province, tune in to Open Line every day.
Have your say weekday morning starting at 9 a.m. on Open Line with Patty Daly on your VOCM.
And just like that, looking over Richard Duggan's shoulder, it is ominously dark out there right now.
It changes every minute. Oh, my God.
2 seconds ago, the sun was literally shining.
Yeah, I know. It is so strange. Yet, yes, both of us have lived here so long that we should know better. But it is it's just one of life's complicated questions.
Yeah. Anyway, I would guess that we got another snow squall coming. So anyway, if you're out and about, be aware that this could creep up on you at any time. So just have your wits about you is all I got to say. 9 community organizations will receive a share of some approximately $405,000 in government funding announced today. The money is part of the National Action Plan to End Gender-Based Violence, a 4-year agreement between the federal government and the province. The announcement was made at Thrive this morning by Minister of Women and Gender Equality, Pam Parsons, who joins me now.
Okay.
Well, Pam, you made an announcement this morning. What was it all about?
Well, it was ultimately about an announcement of just over $400,000. And it goes, of course, it supports violence prevention initiatives, gender-based violence here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And what it is, it comes from the National Action Plan to End Gender-Based Violence, which is a 4-year bilateral agreement of the Newfoundland and Labrador government, of course, our government, and we've signed this with Women and Gender Equality Canada. And that this ultimately will result in a $13.6 million in new funding, and this is to invest in violence prevention-related initiatives throughout this province, our great province. And today, I was proud to do that announcement today. Actually, we did this down at Thrive in downtown St. John's. They were one of the recipients receiving money. So, Linda, I can tell you that the St. John's status of Women Council, they're receiving $38,000. Cornerbrook status of Women Council, receiving $45,000. Beer and Peninsula Voices Against Violence, receiving $45,000. Thrive is receiving $45,000. And this is to enhance the outreach and support for the Coalition Against Sexual Exploitation of Youth, a program known as CASEY, which addresses youth sexual exploitation and anti-human trafficking. Also, Thrive is receiving an additional $36,000, and this is to produce an awareness video for youth and for parents and for teachers and youth service workers, professionals, and ultimately the public. And it's all about sexual exploitation here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And the video will also be translated into multiple languages, including Indigenous languages and languages most common, of course, to the province's newcomer populations, as well as closed captioning for deaf and hard of hearing, for the deaf and hard of hearing community. Multicultural Women's Organization of Newfoundland and Labrador are also receiving $45,000 to increase outreach and engagement for the targeted programming on gender-based violence prevention. Also, Seniors NL will be receiving just a little bit over 16,000. Violence Prevention South Central, 45,000. Violence Prevention Avalon East will be receiving 45,000. And Communities Against Violence will be receiving 45,000 as well. And so there's lots of money to go around. Again, the significant funding that we have secured here for Newfoundland and Labrador to work directly with our stakeholders. So I'm very pleased to announce this money today.
And so this announcement was made at Thrive, and we know Thrive has been very vocal in the past about the amount of funding that the provincial government has been able to provide it after it lost its federal funding. So where are we with all that now?
Well, again, today, and I really want to give a bouquet, and I guess, you know, certainly the deserved, I guess, credit to people like Angela Crockwell and her team down at Thrive, and anyone who works, of course, in these organizations, because they ultimately are on the front lines. They know, and they're able to best inform us about, you know, what's needed to help these people, to help people who need these services. So Thrive today will be receiving $45,000. And as I said, and that's to enhance outreach and support. And that will go to CASEY, which is the Coalition Against Sexual Exploitation of Youth. And that will ultimately address the sexual exploitation and anti-human trafficking. Also, they'll be receiving an additional $36,000, and this is to produce an awareness video for youth, parents, teachers, youth service workers, professionals, and the public about sexual exploitation here in Newfoundland and Labrador. And the video will be translated into multiple languages, including Indigenous languages and languages most common, of course, to the province's newcomer populations, as well as closed captioning for members of the deaf and the hard of hearing community as well. So I commend them on all the good work, and it's just an extra, you know, honor. It's a pleasure to be able to support them as a government and as their minister to help them do their jobs easily, because as we know, as I said, they're ultimately saving lives, and the work that they're doing is greatly needed. So, again, I'm happy to work with them.
Does it concern you, though, when we talk about sexual exploitation in particular and gender-based violence? Does it concern you about some of the things that we've been seeing lately about deepfake porn, for instance, and these kinds of things, and who's able to access that and who is exploiting who?
It certainly is very concerning. I mean, I'll jog my memory back to when I grew up. Coming to the school system and, you know, maneuvering through society as a youth. If you look at today's world, I mean, children are far more, you know, exposed to mediums and information, and not necessarily accurate information, than we ever were. So society is changing. The globe is changing, and it's important that we reflect the services that are offered for people, of course, here in the province. So, yes, it is very concerning, which is ultimately why it's very important, you know, to work hand in hand with stakeholders, you know, such as Thrive and the other wonderful organizations that I named. And, you know, the more money that we can secure and resources, you know, that we can, simply the better. But it's also about education. It's about talking to our kids. It's about talking to our parents. It's about talking to our educators. It's everybody. The onus is on everyone, you know, to have these conversations, to ultimately protect themselves and to help protect each other and to support each other.
Human trafficking was recently brought to the fore with a recent forum, if you will, here in the St. John's region, and a big concern, especially in the newcomer community. How are we dealing with people who are coming to Newfoundland and Labrador and have been exposed to these kinds of forms of exploitation?
Well, you know, human trafficking is, you know, a problem here, and I mean, I guess until you're working with these groups who see, you know, the vulnerabilities in our society that not everybody, you know, will have access to or to even be aware of, it certainly is mind-blowing, you know, what does happen here. And yes, it happens here in our beautiful Newfoundland and Labrador. I mean, you know, we're no exception. And again, but it's going to make the difference when organizations such as Thrive are able to, you know, do what they have the resources to do, the work that they need. And again, in particular, the $45,000 announced for them today, that work will align with the organization's Breaking the Culture of Silence in Newfoundland and Labrador. It's actually a theme put forth by Thrive, and it's the Provincial Assessment of Youth Exploitation. And as you are aware, they did release a report in January 2023 on this. And again, that money for the video to educate, you know, the video will be, and as I said, translated into multiple languages. and ultimately create awareness. But, you know, we're all working together with our police forces as well, like the RCMP, the RNC. I commend them on the work that they do as well. And again, our community stakeholders, I can't say enough about how valued they are. And of course, governments, all levels of governments, and whether that be municipal, provincial, and of course, our federal partners.
Pam Parsons, I do appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Linda.
And Pam Parsons, of course, is the Minister of Women and Gender Equality here in Newfoundland and Labrador. Well, on the international front, Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny was laid to rest in a Moscow cemetery today following a brief funeral attended by his parents. President Vladimir Putin's fiercest critic died 2 weeks ago in an Arctic penal colony. Russian authorities still haven't announced the 47-year-old's cause of death. A photo from inside the church showed an open casket with Navalny's body covered with red and white flowers and his mother sitting beside it holding a candle. And of course, if you had been following the career of Alexei Navalny over the last few years, he was really quite fierce in his opposition to Vladimir Putin, and fully expected that, he survived at least one assassination attempt, so he says. He believed very strongly, and he found proof. And if you have seen the documentary Navalny, you will see how that all came to be.
Very powerful.
Very powerful. Did you see it?
I saw the whole.
Oh, my goodness. What a film.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but just looking when he found the proof that he was, in fact, poisoned.
Yeah. And the way they did it.
And also just, you know, waiting in air, thinking they're going to a particular airport and, you know, with all these people rallying for his support, but they diverted the plane, and then he was arrested when he got on the ground. I mean, it was just, if anybody wants to find out more about Navalny, I assume that you would recommend seeing that documentary as well.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You couldn't turn your eyes from it. It was very captivating.
And he is such a compelling figure.
He very compelling, very charismatic, and you cannot help but think what Russia would be if he were the leader. I mean, it would be night and day. And the fact that his wife is championing the cause now, it will be interesting to know how far she goes, but she seems to be very passionate about carrying his legacy forward.
Yes, and he has a group of people, or he had a group of people around him also similarly passionate about the cause, but we're seeing one by one, you know, any opponents in that country slowly either being exiled or imprisoned or dead.
All due to fear. I mean, you know, he was a real threat to the regime the way it is now.
And exposing a lot of corruption for the Russian people that the Russian people either didn't know or had never been told, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I find it really sad, though, that the people who wanted to show up for his, I guess you would say it was funeral, not memorial, that they were deemed being brave, which is, it's sad that they're brave just for showing up. The fact that they showed up, they were risking their lives. You know, they're holding the flowers high in the air and shouting his name. And then you have the government blocking the signal so people can't carry it around the world. It's sad.
You know, it's reminiscent of so many major pivotal changes in that country. You know, we saw the Russian Revolution, then we saw, the fall of the communist regime, and now we're at this stage in Russian history. I mean, it is the world's largest geographic country in the world, and it's now embroiled in this invasion of a neighboring country, and, you know, lives are being lost, both Russian and Ukrainian, and it feels like we're on the cusp of something. Anyway, it's a very fascinating piece of world events that are occurring right now, in addition to everything else that's happening in this world. Well, when we come back after the break, we're going to take a little bit of a lighter departure. Claudette, you know, we have a show that airs on the weekends. It's called Profiles, and we take a person who's relatively prominent in the community, and we just talk talk stuff with them. It's not like, you know, who are you? What are you doing? It's like, what do you like? What do you do? What do you, you know, what are you into?
A little bit about their personality, for
sure. Get to know them a little bit. Well, this person is already well known, none other than Fred Hutton. And he has had a busy, busy week. He managed to carve out a bit of time for me.
How?
Today, just a few moments ago, as a matter of fact. So we'll give you a little tease of that show that's coming up when we come back after the break. This is News Talk on VOCM.
Get lost in the music of legendary artists like Elton John, The Beatles, and more. Join Claudette Barnes every Sunday from 12 to 1 p.m. and relive fond memories through the power of music. With Sunday Melodies on your VOCM.
And just in the length of time it took us to talk a little bit about Alexei Navalny and through that commercial break, that we had another snow squall. Now it seems to be clearing off again. But during the commercial break, I just got a text from someone telling me that the roads are atrociously slippery and saying that they just saw somebody go into a snowbank going down over a hill. Because I guess they just slipped and slid and boom.
Yeah, and that's going to be like that now for a while, I guess, because we're going to be getting snow squalls up until tomorrow morning at least.
Yes, so be careful out there, won't you? Keep your speeds down. Be aware that it is extremely slippery on the roads, and you may encounter those whiteout conditions. Well, we have a little show called Profiles, which airs on the weekends. And this week, we're going to feature longtime broadcaster and newly elected MHA and cabinet minister Fred Hutton. Here's a taste of what to expect from our conversation this week. This business, you know, you've been on this side of things for a long time, as have I. You know, there are a lot of demands on your time in this type of business. You just accept that. I would imagine the same is true in the political realm. There's going to be a lot of demands on your time. But when you do find that bit of downtime, what's your preferred go-to? What do you like? You mentioned music. What, you know, tell us what your, you know, a perfect day for Fred Hutton might be.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So it starts off really early in the morning, and I'm on a tee box in Terra Nova at the golf course. Nobody has played golf there yet, and they call it following the dew sweeper. And the greenskeepers go out in the morning with this special machine, and they take the water off the greens for all the condensation. Now, I don't normally get on the green very easily. It takes a few shots to get there. But no, like I'm joking around. But early morning golf for me is great. And then, you know, lunch with a couple of friends afterwards and hanging out with the family. I always kind of, the older I got, I think the more I enjoyed going home on a Friday afternoon after the week was over. And the goal is all my chores have been done in terms of, like, I do the grocery shopping in our house because I'm a lousy cook. So myself and my wife figured out early on she doesn't like shopping. I don't like cooking. So this is perfect. I'll do the grocery shopping. You tell me what to get. And I'll get the secret snacks for myself to hide away. And you can cook nice meals, and I'll help clean up. We'll do all that. So, and then just spending time at home, not having to leave the house on the weekend and just hanging out and having friends around, you know, relaxing that way. So, you know, I haven't played a whole lot of golf in the last few years just because the demands of the job that I had kept us on the road quite a bit. And I don't expect that really to change too much now, but that's kind of my go-to, and just, you know, being around family and friends and having some downtime that way.
Secret snacks. I know exactly what you're talking about. I did the same thing last night. That was, I guess, you know, when you respond with golf, that's what you call a soft lob question, knowing full well your love for golf. But I'm going to ask you a really tough question now. This is probably the most controversial question you'll receive in your political career, but cats or dogs?
Dogs. We just got a new dog, a year old dog that we're trying to stop from growling when I go to sit on the bed. loves Bonnie, is warming up to me. But yeah, we lost our dog about a year and a half ago, and we were searching for this little lost, like a smaller type dog, and we finally found one, and it's great. They bring definitely a lot of life to a house. And also a lot of puddles here and there until we get her trained properly. So we'll see how that goes. We're working on that.
Well, I'm happy you've got that new addition to the family. I know how much the loss of your last dog affected you. Mooch, was it?
Yeah, well, the nickname was Mooch. The actual dog's name was Kissy. But the dog literally was so food obsessed that after a while I just renamed her Mooch. And then so my daughter loved her so much, we actually gave her an Instagram page. And that whole story is so funny because my daughter had lost a pug. She wanted another one, and I didn't particularly want to get that breed of dog, and I was sort of out of the dog stage. At one point we had three, and I just couldn't go back there. So when we brought home this ragamuffin Muppet dog, Kissy, that was inherited from Bonnie's aunt, my daughter was so mad that this is the dog after all these times. And in the end, the dog had its own Instagram account that Claire loved her so much and, you know, would dress her up and could do absolutely anything with this dog, who in the beginning would hide under the bed for the first, like, 2 or 3 months and wouldn't come out. So, yeah, well, we absolutely loved having a dog around. And, you know, we actually put up with poor old Kiss was incontinent for the last year, but whatever, you do whatever when they really are a part of your family. And we just sort of followed her around with pee pads for for probably a lot longer than most people would. But yeah, it's great to have another little critter around the house for sure. And she's certainly coming into her own as a Mooch as well, learning how to beg, because I'm a softie at the table.
So that's Fred Hutton, longtime broadcaster, and now MHA for Conception Bay East Belle Island and the newly appointed Minister of Housing. And he's going to be part of a big announcement that's coming in Paradise on Monday morning, along with the Education Minister. Ooh, what could that be? New high school for Paradise, perhaps? I have no insider information. I just know that the release literally just came out. So VOCM's Richard Duggan's watching that one very closely, I should say. And he's already prepared to be in and ready to give you all the latest news on that come Monday morning.
Well, he sounds so I really hope, though, that Fred Hutton will get some time to be able to play golf. You do need that relaxation, a little bit of balance, no matter how hard your portfolio is. You still need a little downtime.
And that's true of any business.
So true.
Yeah. And, you know, fully expecting. And when I said, what's your perfect day? I knew
he was going to go there.
Because, as you know, he was golf obsessed.
Yeah.
So Profiles airs tomorrow at 1:30 and again early on Sunday morning. So if you care to tune into that, you can by all means. We'll be back on Monday. Do enjoy your weekend. Careful driving out there right now. You may encounter some of those snow squalls. It's getting dark, ominously dark again here on Kenmount Road. Be careful out there. Bye-bye for now.